Hello, world, and welcome back to Skid Pod for Episode 9, Part 1. I'm your host, Ben Harwood, and today we have a special guest, Mason Stokes, professor and class of 1948, Chair for Excellence in Teaching from the English Department here at Skidmore College. Mason recently made the leap from Wix to WordPress by joining our Skidmore Domains community network. In this episode, we'll be talking about his reasons for making the transition, the importance of maintaining a professional online presence as an author, and some great advice for faculty members considering their own digital journey. Plus, Mason shares a hilarious story about a classroom tech mishap that you won't want to miss. Stay tuned for all that and more. But first, a couple of quick things about today's podcast. This is the first time we've had a professor come on the show, which is really exciting. Also, you'll notice that we're not using our standard podcast headphones and mics. Well, we're trying something new with the setup here in the recording studio. By pulling the tech back a bit, we're hoping it feels more like a broadcasting experience or something a little more quaint. Let's see how it goes, and thanks for tuning in. Hello, world. Welcome to SkidPod, Mason. You recently migrated your website from Wix over to WordPress and joined our Skidmore Domains community network. Can you tell us what motivated you to migrate your site over?
Sure, and thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I guess there were a couple of reasons why I wanted that migration. One was aesthetic. I had a website before that was built on Wix, and it began to look like it was built back in the 90s. Okay. It didn't have the aesthetic that I'm seeing now, which is a sort of cleaner, even more minimalist aesthetic. So I was interested in a total redesign in conjunction with a novel I've got coming out. And so there was that motivation. Doing that here made that real easy, because the other motivation was financial. I've been paying probably between $200 and $300 a year to host a site on Wix. Okay. That was just money thrown out the window, especially when I learned that Skidmore would offer me this opportunity at no cost. And so I think when you combine that desire to build a new website from the ground up with a new novel coming out, plus the opportunity of saving a lot of money, it seemed a no-brainer.
Definitely sounds like a win-win for sure, and we're delighted to have any community member host their content over on Skidmore Domains or the community WordPress. So can you talk a little bit about how having a professional online presence is helpful to you as a professor and an author?
It's certainly becoming almost essential, I think, for authors, especially as I move into writing more fiction than scholarly work. It's simply expected that as a novelist, I would have my own website in the world, masonstokes.com. Mm-hmm. Publicists assume it. My contract sort of assumes that I have that sort of presence. I mean, my book contract specifies the number of social media posts I need to make at X number of weeks before publication and after publication. So it's certainly a contractual responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all about sort of like trying to find eyeballs and ears, and social media is where that happens now. So I think we're all in some sort of contest to find readers, and it's assumed that I'm going to be out there on Facebook, Twitter, now X. I'm less visible on Instagram and TikTok because I just don't think those are my games. Mm-hmm. I was told at some point, do what you feel comfortable doing, and I'm of the Facebook, Twitter generation. Mm-hmm. But I really don't think I could be launching a novel or maintaining an academic presence without both a website and various social media outlets at my disposal.
So WordPress.org is open source software that empowers people all over the world. I think 39-40% of the web is built on it. So you're using your own domain with WordPress. You're not paying any money for the software. As a community member here, you get the hosting. So I'm interested, though, about your own professional website and the relationship with social media. Now, are you using social media, other social media out there, such as X and Facebook, to drive traffic to your website?
Ideally, yeah. Okay. So I think it's a two-way street, but my guess is more people are going to find me via social media than will find me via my website. Mm-hmm. Although if you Google my name, it takes you to masonstokes.com. But I'm trying to make that go both ways. So on my website, I've got Facebook and X icons on every page, mm-hmm. of course. But anytime I post on X or Facebook, I'm trying to remind people that I have a website there as well, because there's more information there. There are pre-order links to various online retailers, to the publisher itself, to reviews, to events. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to use social media to drive them to a space where there's more information about me. Mm-hmm. And so I think it primarily goes in that direction.
Okay, and you've taken it a step further even. You have, I think, on your webpage a Contact Me page. So can you tell us about your rationale there for having that direct conduit to you, to your probably email?
Sure, yeah. I wanted people to find a way, readers and event organizers, to find a way to get to me without sending my email abroad. And so a Contact Me seems sort of essential there, because we are hoping, particularly as an author of young adult fiction, you're hoping to make a connection with readers, and you want to give readers a chance and a way to find you. And so that Contact Me page works in that way. But I also have links there for my editor, my agent, my publicist, anybody who's looking to book events, anybody who's looking for rights questions, reprints, that sort of thing. So it's a sort of one-stop shop for how to find people that might be related to the book that's coming out.
Is there any advice you could give to faculty who are considering making this move to going online?
That's a good question. So, you know, one piece of advice is simply don't worry about messing stuff up. Those of us who are not, I mean, I consider myself an early adopter, pretty tech savvy, but I'm nowhere near tech fluent. And so I'm going to like poke around and miss things and learn by trial and error a lot. And that's fine. It's really hard to ruin a project that you're working on if you're trying things. And so one idea would try to be let go of some of the fear. Let go of some of the fear. Also, I think do more with less. I find increasingly a website design that's sort of simple and intuitive is better than a very, very flashy, multifocal piece of work. And so I think sort of clarity and simplicity are really good. But also, I just think, you know, one piece of advice is to do it, because there's such good support here. You've been instrumental in helping me put my website together.
Thank you.
You've asked lots, I mean, you've answered lots of questions in person, over email. You know, I worry about your workload at some point as we all begin to sort of do more of this. But I know there's really good and ample support here at Skidmore for this. So if you don't have a personal website, or if you're hosting one elsewhere, I just think there's no reason not to bring it to Skidmore, because you're saving money, you're getting local institutional support. And the packages that are available through WordPress and Divi Builder, which is a set of templates and a sort of in-app builder, I just found elegant. And so I didn't really so much design a website as I found a packet for authors that looked really good to me, and I tailored it to my own needs. And that tailoring meant carving away a lot of the stuff in that packet that I didn't need and leaving just the essentials. But the design itself, the animation, the motion, the colors, was all there for me. And there are a lot of packets like that for all sorts of different needs and functions. I think we're all trying to be more sort of multimodal in our communication. You know, as a writing instructor, I've spent so much of my life thinking about words on a page, and that being my primary mode of communication. I just don't think that's sufficient anymore. I still value that above everything. But I think in this moment, we need to be able to communicate visually, orally, through various forms of tech. And I think you're helping professors who might be a little slow to that process realize that there are a lot of different ways to communicate. And for those of us with work out, words on a page is not always going to do it. Forms like this, podcasts, other sorts of visual demonstrations. I just think it's increasingly important in this moment to sort of be as diverse as we can in the method of communicating.
Okay. And certainly having a public-facing presence can help to underscore the way to do that. All right, so we're going to try something a little different on the podcast, on the Skid Pod. Do you have, is there a funny story or anecdote that comes to mind from when you were teaching or writing?
Yeah, that's a good and embarrassing question, because a part of being a teacher is being embarrassed publicly all the time,
right?
Because we're standing up in front of people and we're winging it a lot of the time. Not to say we don't know what we're talking about, but we're improvising in the moment. So I remember a moment early in my career here, and this is a story related to technology, so I think it's apt. This was back in the day before PowerPoint, before anything really other than projectors. And I was using a slide projector. And if those of you listening or seeing don't know, this is old school. Little pieces of cellophane in a little piece of plastic. You throw light through it, and it projects the picture on the wall, right? This is how we used to show images. And I was teaching the poetry of William Blake, who was a romantic poet, but who incorporated graphic work into his poetry, or rather poetry into his graphic work. His poems are interlaced within beautiful drawings, paintings, illustrations. So to teach Blake's poetry, you have to teach Blake's art. And one way to do that is to throw it up on the screen and do what we call close read, just as we do with a paragraph of text. You close read the image. What's going on with color? What's going on with tone? What's going on with detail? And so I'm doing that. I think it's going really well. I'm pointing out this image and this shape and this tonal complexity. And then I see this image down in the bottom left-hand corner. I didn't really notice before, but it's there. And so I start talking about its relationship to the greater work and how it participates in a kind of symmetry and coherence and how it emphasizes the thematic aspects of this. And as I'm saying all of this, which sounds really smart, I realize that that image is actually the shadow of my water bottle, which is between the projector and the screen. And I'm reading it as if it's a part of what Blake put there. And I'm wondering now, how long are my students going to let me do this? Because they have to know. And they let me do it for a while, right? Because it was fun, right, for them to see me take seriously something that wasn't really there. I finally found a way to segue out of this. This could be a thematic coherence, or it could simply be my water bottle projected onto the screen, and that got me out of it. But it's a reminder that even in the early days, technology doesn't always work for us, and it's going to lead to some glitches and mistakes. Hopefully they become organic parts of the process. Mm. But that one stayed with me because that was just so ridiculous.
And can you imagine if Blake himself had been in the room? I wonder what commentary he would have given on that.
I think he would have loved the fact that I was making a great deal out of something that wasn't there, which is what English professors are sometimes accused of. But I will claim it proudly that I made that water bottle a part of that picture, and I think it worked.
Very good. Mason Stokes, thank you so much for coming on the Skid Pod today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.